Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to start with number 117 in the Red Book. Lord, when we the path retrace, which thou on earth hast trod, demand thy wondrous love and grace, thy faithfulness to God. Thy love by man so sorely tried proved stronger than the grave. The very spear that pierced thy side drew forth the blood to save. We're going to use a different tune for this. Maybe you could play the first line or so. So we pray. O loving Father, we thank Thee for sending Thy Son to be our Savior, for causing Him to walk this scene so we can have Him as our example. We trust Thee now to give us a word, Lord, through the power of the Spirit of God that we need for the time. Thou dost know our needs far more than we do. But we praise You for Your care for us. And we look to You now to just guide every word that's said publicly and privately today. Give us a day of real rejoicing in that which is independence from all sin, sorrow, and giving us life, life abundant. So we thank You for this privilege to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to retrace the path that the Lord trod here somewhat. I'd like to turn, first of all, to a verse in Hebrews, a few verses, Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at the Lord's prayers, a few of them. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read of a prayer here when He came into this world. Verse 5, Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared Me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Therefore, said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of Me, to do Thy will, O God. The Lord's prayers, we're going to look at a number of them. About His, and the first one is, purpose. It's very clear from this prayer when He first entered this world that His purpose was to do the Father's will. We have that same thing in when He went out in His public ministry at the age of 30. Turn to Luke. Chapter 3, verse 21, Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. We learn a little bit more from Matthew's Gospel about the baptism. Turn to chapter 2 in Matthew. Sorry, chapter 3. Matthew 3, begin reading from verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us. Who's the us? The Father and the Son. And what was he doing? He says to fulfill all righteousness. He was pledging himself to take the load of our sins upon him. That's why he came into this world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you know, this dedication to do the Father's will went on through all his life. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Verse 50. The Lord said, But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened or pained till it be accomplished? Oh, he wanted to do this, Father's will. To defeat the works of Satan, to give life to his people. The Father's will, his purpose was to do the Father's will. What is your purpose? What is my purpose? You know, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat or the wine that he drank. And Barnabas told those at Antioch that with purpose of heart, seek to please the Lord. You know, there was another purpose. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Here's a man that had a different purpose. Luke 12:16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, This will I do. Pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now what do you want? Do you want things for self or for God? It's as simple as that. I thank God that as I look over the faces here, I believe almost all of us, if not all of us, have decided to please the Lord. And we do falter at times, but the Lord's standard for Himself is what He wants from His people. Well, let's get another prayer. Turn back to Luke 9. Verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. Here's a prayer regarding his person. This is likewise a very important prayer. Whom do you say that Jesus is? Who do I say that Jesus is? It's very important what we confess. You know, Peter in Mark 16 said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, Upon that rock I will build my church. The rock is the profession of Christ as God. And you know, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10, very familiar verse to most of us. Romans 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No one gets saved unless he confesses Jesus as Lord. Lord. Whom do you say that he is? Is he your Lord? You know, I come acquainted somewhat with Jehovah Witnesses, and there's a young man that was raised in that false religion. He said to me, he says, I never heard what the Jehovah Witness believed about Jesus. And I said, that's exactly right. Turn to 3 John. Or 2 John, rather. And this is what we're told. Verse 7. For For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Anyone who does not confess Jesus is Lord is a deceiver. They deceive themselves, really. And they're doing the work of the antichrist. Well, let's look at another parable the Lord gave. Look in Matthew 7. It's a well-known story. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. May the Lord use that little song in this parable to wake anybody up here who is not built on Christ. Let's get another prayer. Turn to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 6. Mark 6, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, and for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Here we have the Lord's Prayer about His people. It says that he saw them toiling. You know, he knows even now, for he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father praying for you and me, for his people. He knows all about our problems. He knows the toiling we have, the trials, the suffering. And they saw him walking. The Lord lets himself known to us. And he wants us to realize that everything's in control. It's I. Don't be afraid. He is in control of everything. You know, at the conference at Nassau this year, I had the privilege of listening to the Lord's Prayer, John 17. And we know that they are the very words he said, because the Lord said in John 14 that he would bring to their remembrance every word I have said unto you. And John wrote down the very words that the Lord said. Let's turn there. John 17. And just listen in awe to what he says. His prayer is for his people. And a number of other things too. I'll just read the first five verses. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, and glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, when the Lord came into the scene, he laid aside his glory. He became a man, body, soul, and spirit, so he could shed his blood to take away our sins. And he longed to have that glory restored to him. He had finished the work. He says it here actually before he went to the cross, but there is no doubt about it. And it's because of that finished work, he wants to glorify the Father by giving eternal life. As it says here in the last part of verse 2, to as many as thou hast given him. Do you know the Lord said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come up to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He wants to give eternal life. And he gives eternal life to all the Father gives to him. I thank the Lord to know that he chose me before the foundation of the world. I don't know why. But you know, there's two sides to that verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, beloved, all you have to do is come. Come with all your sins to him. And he'll give you eternal life. The moment you do. Well, you know, he even prays for his people before they sin. Turn to Luke 22. Before we get away from him. Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the word you here is plural. Satan wants all the believers. He wants to keep us from pleasing the Lord. But he says, I have prayed for thee. Now, that word is singular. I have prayed especially for you, Peter. And he prays for each of us individually. That thy faith fail not. He doesn't say that you won't fail. No, no, no. But he wants our faith not to fail. It cannot fail. If we've trusted in the Lord, it is settled forever. Sin's tremendous claim. Glory to Jesus. Praise his name. But why doesn't it fail? Because he prays for us. And when thou art converted, restored, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. You know, that was Peter's problem. I'm ready. I love you a lot, Lord. He was depending on his love and his earnestness. You know, If we're depending on that, we're going to fail. Just like Peter did. And the Lord tells him, tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day before you shall thrice deny that thou knowest me. So the Lord is praying for his people. Even before we fail. He wants us to realize that he won't let our faith fail. If you've trusted in him, he will bring us through. And he did with Peter. Peter failed miserably. He denied that he even knew the Lord. Even though he did call him Lord before that. Well, the Lord can restore us too. And you know, after the Lord restored Peter in John 21, he said, follow me. And Peter looked around, oh, what about this man? He was saying, about John, what will happen to him? He says, Peter, follow thou me. This is an individual thing. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord only, not on everybody else. So there's many lessons that we could have. And this might ask the question, who are you trusting? Who am I trusting? Let's trust the Lord. So verse in Isaiah 26 says, trust ye in the Lord forever, in the Lord Jehovah's everlasting strength. And then, you know, the Lord promises, I will guide thee with mine eye. We need to stay close to him, for him to guide us. Well, let's get another one. Luke 22, we're right here. Verses 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now here we have, I believe, the Lord's Prayer about his pledge. Not my will, but thine be done. What is your pledge? Shouldn't it be like his? Not my will, but thine be done. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In verse 1 stated that we have dedication. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, sometimes the Lord calls us to present them as a dead sacrifice, like a martyr. But we are called by his mercies. Oh, how merciful he is to yield our bodies, present our bodies to him, to live for him. And then verse 2 is called dedication. Be not conformed to the world. That's very important, the order here. We are studying James, and there's a verse there that says, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted in the world. We can't really have fellowship with the Lord if we're constantly occupied with the world's things, taken up with them. I know many may not want to come on the 4th of July to hear a message from the Lord, but I thank the Lord He got me up. He wanted me to hear this. He says, if we are not conformed with the world, but then if we're occupied with Him, we're transformed into His image. That's the same word that is used to say that He was transfigured before them on the mount of transfiguration. His garments were white as the sun. And His visage was completely different. Oh, what a wonderful thing to... And Moses, you know, had that situation when he came down from the mount. His face glowed, had to cover it, put a veil on it. We show whether we're occupied with the Lord or not. We're not occupied with how we look. We're occupied only with Him. So His pledge was to do the Father's will, not my will. Let's get another one. Luke 23. Verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. Here is His prayer about His plea. His plea was, Father, forgive them. What's your plea? What's my plea? Well, first of all, I believe we need to have the plea that the prodigal son had. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father didn't allow him to say what he was going to say, make me one of thy hired servants. Again, I feel that we need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the importance of these prayers of the Lord. We need to plea for souls. First of all, set ourselves right. And then, you know, the Lord has given us a commission to go into all the world to preach the gospel. This should be our plea. Father, forgive them. Turn to Psalm 126. Here's a precious psalm as instruction for us. And it was during the time of the captivity of Zion. We were in difficult days. But yet, they, verse 5, that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Isn't that a wonderful promise? What does it mean to weep when we sow the good seed? Doesn't it mean to cry to the Lord and enter into the terrible situation that souls are in, away from God? Doesn't it mean to really realize what the Lord said there upon the cross? Father, forgive them. He loves souls. Do we love souls? Do we agonize over their willful ways, rejection of the Lord? Isn't this wonderful? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I've proved that many times. And I found too that when I don't weep, there isn't blessing. He that goeth forth weeping. See, it's going forth. It's before we even sow the seed. Goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. And the seed is the Word of God. It's His message. We're no more than John the Baptist was. He was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. We have a voice, but it's His message. It's the most wonderful message there is. God loves souls. And He says, bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing His seed with Him. The Apostle Paul looked forward to being with those who he had led to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2, he speaks to that in the glory. Well, we have one more. Turn to Luke 23. Verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. Here is the Lord's prayer about His pronouncement. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Begin reading with verse 21. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. Here it is, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. This is our example. What if we have a problem? Let's say somebody says something bad about us. Let's say we have an illness. Let's say we have, well, like him, every scourge on his back, he committed to the Father. Every nail into his hands and feet, the crown of thorns, everything he committed to the Father. This is our example, beloved. This is what we need to really lay hold of. We have many trials in our midst. But the Lord has complete control. He says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why do I have a need for this trial? I don't know. But he knows. Maybe it's for me to show like he did. He didn't answer back. He opened not his mouth. He committed himself to the Father. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He finally did that. Now, you and I can't do that. We don't have power to commit ourselves to the Father. There's a lady who lived to be 100 years old. Tyrone, she was a dear sister. She says, oh, I wish I could commit my spirit to the Lord. Well, we can't do that. The Lord graciously took her shortly after that. But we can commit everything to Him. Everything else. And that's what we should do. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's see the encouragement that He gives us to do that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. The verses we've had are almost all very familiar. I'm sure this is too, but this is what we have before us. In chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, it really is. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was it in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows exactly what we're going through. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I trust that these words have meant as much to you as they have to me. The simple 6 things, and I think the number is right. He was a man. That's the number of man. You and I are men, women. The Lord's prayer is about His purpose. What's your purpose? About His person. Have you confessed Him as Lord? About His people. He's intimately interested. He prays ahead of time for us. He knows what's going to happen. That our faith will not fail. His pledge. Thy will be done, not my will. Is that our pledge? His plea. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's true of every unsaved person. They don't know what they do. The enormity of the crime to God. And then His pronouncement, Father, into thy hands I commend everything. I commend my spirit. Well, let's sing a song. It's an old song that my father-in-law and mother-in-law loved, and we sang it at their 40th. Number 2. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Let's sing it from our hearts, if you know Him as the faithful one. Number two. Well, let's thank Him. Oh, loving Father, how we thank You for being our Father. And oh, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank You for Your devotion to the Father, Your willingness to come into the scene. And for some reason, we read in eternity past that Your delights were with the sons of men. Oh, we don't know why You would love such rebellious, wicked people. But Thou hast set Thy love upon us and will keep us through time and eternity. For Thou hast promised, and we praise You. We thank You for giving us a word now to encourage our hearts in Thyself and keep us focused upon our blessed Lord. As our journey goes on till Thou dost come, we thank You for the promise of Your coming at any moment to take us to see Thee, to be with Thee face to face. We long for that day. But until then, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us the privilege to reach out to lost souls, to stir up and encourage one another in Thyself. Oh, we praise You for the assembly and the way that Thou hast designed that we function, directed by Thee through the power of the Spirit of God for the good of each one of us a part of the wonderful work that's going on in the eternal purpose. Thy Son has a bride to come, and now, and a wife, and a body of believers. We thank You. Now bless the rest of this day. Be with our conversation, Lord. Be glorified through every moment. In Jesus' name, amen.